25th legislative day. Will the members please vote to signify their presence this morning?
The roll shows 17 senators present this morning. Senators Coghill and Bennett are excused from the call of the Senate today. Senator Hensley is on state business.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Reverend Lou Rooker from the Northern Light United Church is here with us this morning for the prayer.
Good morning. This is my last day with you this week, and so I want to thank you for the privilege of being with you. Let's pray. Eternal God, each day we pause and look to you, praising your majesty, offering thanks for the blessings of our life, and asking that your grace move our hearts and guide our work. May our hearts begin to grow in your love, O Lord, so that our daily prayer is not simply a moment's pause, barely slowing down the momentum of our continued willfulness, but becomes the silent source of our gathered wisdom and produces in our midst the fruits of righteousness and peace. Amen.
Senator Elias, will you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Secretary, may we have the certification of the Daily Journal, please?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 24th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 24th legislative day be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the journal for the 24th legislative day will be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary. Do we have introduction of guests this morning? Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam President. It's with great pleasure that I introduce Lori, and I'm going to try to not stumble on this, but Bogdansky. Lori has joined me as a part of the Alaska Native Leadership Project. She's from Glen Allen, a member of the Otna Corporation, and been doing an outstanding job doing some research on RS-2477, which I'll share with you at the end of her project. And she's in the gallery behind me.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I've got the pleasure of introducing several constituents from my district this morning. During the past week, we've had the pleasure, the privilege of working with one of the Alaska Native Leadership Project students. She's been very helpful in her office, and we've really appreciated having her here. Her name is Flora Pawkins, and she's from St. Mary's. Please help me welcome her. Also with the Alaska Native Leadership Project from Bethel, who's been working in Representative Kay Wallace's office, please help me welcome to the Senate chambers, Sue Charles. And another privilege this week, we've had visiting here from St. Mary's also, two longtime residents of St. Mary's, Paul and Hallie Dixon. Please help me welcome them.
Welcome to all of you. Senator Zaroff.
Thank you, Madam President. It's indeed a great pleasure for me to welcome one of my constituents from Bellingham, member of the City Council, a former member of this body and of the other body, and I'd like to have everybody welcome former Senator Nels Anderson.
Senator, as a custom of this body and as a former member of this body, we'd love to have a few words from you this morning.
It's just nice to be here again, and it's good to see all of you. I just want to wish you good luck on a very productive session. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Madam President, it's my pleasure to introduce a student also here with the Alaska Native Leadership Program, and that's Carlene John. But that's not her biggest call to fame. One of her biggest calls to fame is that she's on one of my ball teams at home. So welcome, Carlene.
Further introduction of guests this morning. Do we have messages from the governor this morning?
There are no messages from the governor today, Madam President.
Do we have messages from the House of Representatives?
February 11, the House passed and transmitted for consideration. House Concurrent Resolution Number 7 by Representatives Gruenberg, Grusendorf, Pierce, Barnes, Boucher, Boyer, Brown, Collins, Cotton, Davidson, Davis, Donnelly, Ellis, Frank, Furness, Gall, Hanley, Hoffman, Hudson, Copeland, Larson, Martin, Menard, Miller, Navarre, Pettyjohn, Phillips, Porchot, Rieger, Schultz, Springer, Sun, Swackhammer, Taylor, Romer, and Zawacki. Honoring the 100th birthday of Ernest Greening.
It's referred to the State Affairs Committee.
House Bill number 22 by Representatives Porchot, Boyer, Ellis, and Davis. An act relating to hazardous physical agents in the workplace.
Health and Social Services Committee, Labor and Commerce.
That was the only message from the House today.
Are there any communications this morning?
There is a communication from Senator Tim Kelly, which will be put in Senate Supplement Number 6, on a disclosure that he no longer has. And that is the only communication.
Are there reports of standing committees this morning?
The Alaska State Legislature Senate Resources Committee, February 11, dear Madam President. After due consideration, the Senate Committee on Resources has no objection to the implementation of Executive Order number 63. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 15, Trade Secrets, and recommends due pass with amendments, with an amendment. Signed, Senator Kelly, Chairman, concurring Senator Eliason and Senator Fahrenkamp. Senator Szymanski signed a recommendation. They attached a zero fiscal note. SB 15 has a further referral to Judiciary. Labor and Commerce considered Senate Bill number 64, Export Enterprises under the Alaska Industrial Development Authority, and recommends be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title. Attached a fiscal note. Senator Kelly, Chairman, and Senator Fahrenkamp and Szymanski signed due pass. Senator Eliason signed no recommendation. SB 64 has a further referral to international trade. The Labor and Commerce Committee considers Senate Bill number 87, credit card interest rate that may be charged by certain financial institutions, and recommends to be replaced with a committee substitute LNC with a majority due pass. Signed, Senator Kelly, Chairman, concurring Senators Fahrenkamp and Szymanski. Senator Eliason signed no recommendation. A zero fiscal note was attached. SB 87 has no further referral.
That would go to the Rules Committee then.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution number 5, Promotion and Marketing of the State-Operated International Airport, Senate Joint Resolution number 13, United States Coast Guard Reorganization, Senate Bill number 90, Eligible Age for Service in the Militia of the State, and recommends calendar February 12, signed Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes and Binkley. These do appear on today's calendar. That is the end of the standing committee reports.
Senator Kelly, you have the floor.
We have a brief at ease, please.
Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order, please. Madam Secretary.
Under standing committee reports on Senate Bill 87, that was signed by Senator Kelly, Chairman, and it does go on to rules. Those are the standing committee reports.
Do we have reports of special committees this morning?
We have no special committee reports.
Do we have the introduction of Senate resolutions?
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 10 by Senators Kurtula and Szymanski relating to the redesign and reconstruction of Hyder Road near Palmer.
Transportation, Finance.
Senate Joint Resolution number 15 by Senators Rohde, Szymanski, Ewling, Abood, Bennett, Binkley, Coghill, Duncan, Eliason, Fahrenkamp, Fakes, Fisher, Hofford, Hensley, Jones, Josephson, Kelly, Kurtula, Sturzelewski, and Jara. Proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the right of the citizen to keep and bear firearms.
Judiciary Committee.
And those are the new resolutions today.
Is there an introduction of Senate bills today?
Senate Bill number 123 by Senators Josephson and Fakes. An act relating to agreements for the provision of medical education and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
Senate Bill number 124 by Senator Josephson, an act relating to employment rights based on pregnancy, childbirth, and adoption.
Health, Education, Social Services, Labor and Commerce, Finance.
Senate Bill number 125 by Senators Duncan, Jaroff, Jones, Eliason, and Szymanski, an act relating to the Alaska Marine Transportation Advisory Board.
Transportation, Finance.
Those are the new bills today.
We are down to the consideration of the daily calendar this morning.
Senate Bill number 90, by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, an act relating to the eligible age for service in the militia of the state and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill. A majority of the committee recommends to pass, signed Senator Abood chairman, concurring Senators Fakes and Josephson. A zero fiscal note was attached by the Governor. There are no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 90 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 90 has been engrossed, advanced to third reading, and is before the Senate. Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill number 90, an act relating to the eligible age for service in the militia of the state and providing for an effective date.
Question. Question's been called. Is the Senate prepared to vote? The question before the body shall be, shall Senate Bill 90 pass the Senate? Madam Secretary, will you unlock the roll? Senators may proceed to vote. Madam Secretary, will you lock the roll? Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, will you record the vote, please? The vote being 17 yeas, no nays. Therefore, Senate Bill 90, relating to the eligibility age for service in the militia of the state, has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent to roll call and final passage of Senate Bill 90. Consider the roll call and the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause has been passed.
Senate Joint Resolution number 13 by Senators Duncan, Abood, Bennett, Binkley, Coghill, Eliason, Fahrenkamp, Fakes, Hofford, Hensley, Jones, Josephson, Kelly, Rohde, Strzelecki, Ewling, and Jara, relating to United States Coast Guard reorganization. This resolution was considered by the Transportation Committee and recommends to pass. Signed, Senator Jones, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Coghill, and Fahrenkamp. A zero fiscal note was attached. There are no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution number 13 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objections, SJR 13 will be engrossed and put on final passage and third reading.
Senate Joint Resolution number 13 relating to United States Coast Guard reorganization.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Madam President. I want to make just a few comments on the resolution, if I could. I'm sure everyone's aware of the of what it does, so I don't want to recount that. The whereas clauses, I think, lay out very clearly the impact not only on this community, but the concerns that we should have statewide as to the reorganization of the Coast Guard and the relocation of a major part of that into another state. The question often arises, though, on a resolution, what impact will it have? And I just wanted to talk a minute about that. I think this resolution can have significant impact on what happens with Coast Guard realignment. I think it's very important that the state speak with a unified voice on this question. And we've seen so far the governor's office, the governor of the state, going on record by letter to the commandant, opposing the relocation, the realignment, and asking for centralization in Alaska, considering that. We have seen our congressional delegation, the three of them, Congressman Young introducing legislation in Congress for their review and speaking, and I would quote from a newspaper article that he said that he believes that realignment centralization in Alaska is preferable because 1/8 of the Coast Guard activities occur in this state, and Senators Murkowski and Stevens have made similar type statements. So I think the importance of this resolution is that we then, as the legislative body, would join together with them with a unified voice as the congressional delegation begins to look at the Coast Guard realignment proposal and the impact it has not only on my district but on the state as a whole.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Curtula.
Two having seafaring areas that I represent have a unique interest or specific interest in the passage of this legislation. However, I'm not certain, and this is a question to the President, to Senator Duncan. We recognize that the delegation certainly will be in support of this position. I'm not certain that they are sending it broadly enough, or we're sending it broadly enough. Perhaps it ought to go to the Secretary of Defense. I don't think the Secretary of Treasury still is responsible for the Coast Guard. But at least a cover letter ought to accompany this, asking them that this be a position that's sent on to the decision-making group. It's just a thought, not to be at the lawn party in a different coat, but I think it would be a good idea that it be sent broadly. We're in third reading, so of course I woke up when we were in second reading. But I just suggest this to Mr. Duncan, since we're not that busy this morning.
Senator Duncan?
Madam President, I surely don't have any trouble with broadening the distribution of the resolution, and if the senator wants to propose some type of amendment to that, I would surely be acceptable to it.
Can we stand at ease?
Without objection, the Senate will be at ease. Come back to order, please. Senator Duncan?
I'm asking unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purpose of adopting a specific amendment.
Without objection, we have returned to second reading for the adoption of a specific amendment.
Amendment number one by Senators Duncan and Curtula. On page two, line seven, insert before Admiral, Secretary of Transportation Elizabeth Dole, semicolon, and.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Without objection, amendment number one has been adopted. We are automatically back into third reading. You have SJR 13 as amended before you. Question has been called. Are you prepared to vote? The question being, shall SJR 13 as amended pass the Senate? Madam Secretary, may I unlock the roll? Senators may proceed to vote. Madam Secretary, will you lock the roll? Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? The secretary may record the vote. The vote being 17 yeas, no nays, therefore SJR 13 has amended, has passed the state Senate.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 5 by Senators Spirituluski, Fahrenkamp, Hofford, Kelly, Bennett, Ewling, Szymanski, Josephson, Binkley, Rohde, Fakes, Abood, Duncan, Coghill, Fisher, Jones, Curtula, Jaroff, Eliasson, and Hensley, relating to promotion and marketing of the state-operated international airports. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered this resolution and recommended due pass, signed Senator Kelly, Chairman, pardon me, concurring Senators Eliasson, Ewling, and Fahrenkamp. The Transportation Committee considered this resolution with the majority due pass, signed Senator Jones, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Coghill, and Fahrenkamp. There are no amendments.
SCR 5 is before the Senate. Is there discussion? Senator Josephson.
Thank you, Madam President. I am very pleased to co-sponsor the resolution, but I have a little concern that as we market, we also have to go back to the airport and take a fresh look at what the airport offers and improve what it has to offer. A lot of what I know about this is only as a traveler or through anecdotes that are told to me, but I've been told that we've had dignitaries from Pacific Rim countries come to the Anchorage International Airport who should have been greeted or should have been met by public officials who weren't greeted or met, that there are maintenance problems that I think are evident even to the casual traveler. We have a proposal in the HES committee for a daycare facility on an RFP basis that might be available without cost to the state, have a concessionaire go in and provide that kind of service. There may be a need for hospitality services, traveler's aid services in the airport. We're all familiar with the call for 10-day visas for international travelers. And I think what I'm saying here is that as they market, they also need to plan for the overall development of these airports, both in Fairbanks and Anchorage. So when we go to market, we have really something to brag about and boast about. And so I would just make those comments, Madam President, to thinking that this is the right time to take a look at the airport from a zero-based kind of analysis with good planning and improve and upgrade the airport that we've got. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Sturgeluski, you have
President.
The floor.
I appreciate the fact that all of my colleagues have joined in this resolution, and the senator from downtown Anchorage is right on. And the first thing I'd like to see them do is to put in some automatic opening doors so you don't struggle through with all of your luggage. It's a very unfriendly place right now in terms of the traveler. But the work really begins with this. It's a very specific resolution that's directed to the governor to direct the Department of Transportation to prepare in the budget that they submit to the legislature this marketing and promotional plan. So the subcommittee on the budget dealing with transportation has a responsibility here to take a look and see that our direction is carried out. And it has tremendous support from the Visitors Bureau. There's interest on the part of the railroad, a whole host of groups and agencies within the Anchorage and Fairbanks area that see the interrelation of this whole transportation system. And so this is just beginning. Kind of interesting, the other day we noted that the city of Seward has put on a marketing director for their port. We also have a marketing director, of course, on the Anchorage port. And so it's, I think the airport operation is far behind the power curve, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't get started. So I would encourage your support for this and appreciate the senator's comments. He's right on. Let's make it a place not only for the a foreign traveler, for the businessman, and for those of us that live and use that facility.
Thank you. Senator Ewing.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam President. Just a couple remarks. I know we had the testimony in the Labor and Commerce Committee on the zero on the fiscal note and the cost. I think there's about 20 items that the Commerce and Economic Development Agency in the governor's office can do on this, and it isn't going to cost the state that much money. And I'd like to, as soon as I get a copy of those 20 different new ideas that they have, I'll distribute them to the members so that from that point we can go on, and then if we have to spend more money, we will. But there are 20 things that they can do that are pretty low cost, and I thought that might be of interest to the members.
Is there further discussion? Yes, Senator
Although
Couture.
Although a user, I might say that'll be the first series of items that were low cost at that airport.
Is there further discussion? Question has been called. Are the members prepared to vote? The question being before the Senate is, shall Senate concurrent resolution number 5 pass the Senate? Madam Secretary, will you unlock the roll? Senators may proceed to vote. Madam Secretary, will you lock the roll? Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, will you record the vote? The vote being 17 yeas, no nays, therefore Senate concurrent resolution number 5 has passed the Senate this morning. I believe that takes us to the citation calendar.
Citations honoring young Alaskans, Alaska Native Leadership Project by Representative Adams, Gall, Navarre, Porchol, and Wallace, Senators Sterdlewski, Rohde, Fisher, and Hofford. A citation in memoriam, Edward Holmes, by Representatives Menard and Larson, Senators Kurtula and Szymanski. A citation honoring Dr. Ken Wynn, a gift of Christmas by Representatives Hanley, Phillips, Menard, and Pierce, Senator Sterdlewski. Honoring Dr. Scott Hubertson, a gift of Christmas, by Representatives Hanley, Phillips, Pierce, and Menard, and Senator Sterdlewski. Honoring Fred Adler, by Representative Davidson, Senator Jaroff.
Senator Jaroff.
Madam President, I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a sponsor on the citation honoring young Alaskans.
Without objection, Senator. Senator Binkley.
Same request, Madam President.
Without objections, you will be shown as a co-sponsor. Madam Secretary, I would move and ask unanimous consent for the privilege of co-sponsoring the Young Alaskan citation. I heard no objections. Senator Duncan.
Same request.
Without objection, Senator Duncan. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, just a note on the Young Alaskan citation. It's my understanding that these young Alaskans reach the age of, I think, 60 or 65 years young. And I would also note that Brenda Barnes, a very important member of this group, is listed on the citation on the Secretary's desk, although she's not on this one here. She's working in my office this week. I move and ask unanimous consent the citation calendar be adopted.
Without objection, the citation calendar for the 25th legislative day will be adopted. Sir, unfinished business this morning. Senator Jones.
Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent to waive the Transportation Committee referral on House Concurrent Resolution 1 relating to a highway between Eklutna and Palmer.
Without objection, Senator, that referral has been waived. Senator Binkley?
Thank you, Madam President. We've also received a fiscal note with that same House Concurrent Resolution number 1, and I would move and ask unanimous consent that that be given an additional referral to Finance Committee.
Without objection, Senator, that House Concurrent Resolution number 1 will be referred to Finance. Senator Kelly?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the 5-day notice be waived on Senate Bill 105 relating to the sale of certain milk products.
Without objection, Senator.
And Madam President, the Labor and Commerce Committee will hear us Senate Bill 105 tomorrow at 2 p.m. in the Bell's Room.
Thank you, Senator. Further unfinished business this morning. Senator Zara.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the Senate, not subject to a call, February 13th till plain time, or I hope plain time on the 16th.
You going to try that again, Senator Zara?
We're on state business.
Without objection, Senator, you will be excused. Senator Fisher?
Yes, thank you, Madam President. I move and ask for unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the House on Friday the 13th on state business.
Without objection, Senator. Are there announcements this morning? Senator Farrington.
Madam President, the Special Committee on Oil and Gas will hear SJR 7 relating to oil and gas exploration at 3:30 today in the Bell's Room.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Crotula.
Judiciary at 1:30. I think it's the Kelly package today.
Senator Jones.
The Transportation Committee will not meet today, but next week we'll work twice as hard. And so on Tuesday, February 17th, we will hear Senate Concurrent Resolution 9 relating to levels of service by the Alaska Marine Highway System. We will hear Senate Bill 108, an act relating to decisions on right-of-way lease applications, after which we'll have a confirmation hearing for Commissioner Rocky Gutierrez, Department of Transportation. On Thursday, February 19th, we will meet at 1:30 in the Belts Committee Room. We will hear Senate Bill 100, an act relating to the taxation of watercraft motor fuel, after which we'll have an overview of the Alaska Railroad with Frank Turpin, who is the president and chief executive officer of the railroad. Thank you.
Senator Binkley.
Madam President, tomorrow morning at 8:30, the Senate Finance Committee will continue hearing Senate Bill 101, special appropriation for representation by the state on ANWR issues, and that'll be in Senate Finance.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Zaroff.
We have a brief at ease.
Without objection, Senator. It'll come back to order, please. Senator Halford.
Madam President, under announcements, the Alaska Federation of Natives is holding a reception at Centennial Hall 5 to 7 this evening. The Anchorage Caucus will be meeting at noon today in the Governor's Conference Room. And also, in case you don't catch it in the adjournment motion, we will be adjourning until 10:30 tomorrow morning. We'll come into session here, and then we'll be going to joint session at 11.
The further announcements. Senator Fisher.
Thank you. On Monday, in the Senate House Committee, we're going to add Senate Concurrent Resolution 1, Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month, to our calendar.
Are there special orders this morning? Senator Elias.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given special privilege of the floor to make a few remarks about the Board of Fish.
Without objection, Senator, you do have the floor.
Madam President, I heard last night on the evening news that the governor has decided not to replace the other members of the Board of Fish. I have to question whether or not he has that authority at the present time, but this is not the point of my remarks. I think we all realize that being a member of that particular board is a very difficult task. It's a thankless task, and I'm sure that many of us in this body would not choose to serve on that board. However, we have good people on the board. There's no question about their integrity and about their willingness for public service. However, there has been some serious questions over the last meeting of the board. As you recall, they adjourned suddenly their business. Three members resigned, accusing others of trading votes to get certain regulations passed. Now, I'm not very concerned whether or not that's true. I don't know. But I think those of us that serve in public office, and including the Board of Fish, I think we pay the penalty of perception is as important as facts at times. And I think that this cloud of credibility is going to be over that deliberations of that board from now on. I don't think it's human nature. I think that when someone receives a bad decision from that board, they're going to think it's that they've been their vote might have been sold. Whether or not that's a fact, the perception is there. I think the only way we can remove that is that in a spirit of public service, that those members in that board step down without prejudice. Like I say, they are good people. I have no quarrel with them personally, but I think for the good of the state that they should consider that. I think they should allow the governor to appoint a new fish board, where the governor himself will be responsible for that board. And that's where the buck stops at the governor's office. Under the present situation, we don't know who's responsible for that board. So, Madam President, I think it is in the best interest of the public. I'm sincere about this. And I think it's the honorable thing for them to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Zara.
Madam President, that's a serious topic I'd like to follow up on, but I would request the permission of the floor to speak on another subject relating to disappointing friends and the effects of old age.
Without objection, Senator, you do have that.
Yep. Thank you, Madam President. I was recently informed this morning that one of my colleagues and dear friend over the last 6 years was thinking of skipping out on us this weekend, so I immediately took the opportunity and I was going to leave as well. But since we've been together for the last 6 years and I've always had the opportunity to enjoy his birthday, I think he probably has the distinction of being one of the oldest, if not nearly the oldest members of this body and the other body, if not state government. He has indicated to us that he's probably not going to be here this weekend, and it's always been my pleasure to enjoy his Valentine's birthday. And, of course, as he proceeds on with age, certain things happen biologically. I guess one of the things there is that you have a tendency to forget. And there's a list, but I can't remember what the others are at this time. But I'm quite aware that, and as many of us are aware, that Senator Abood from Spinard has always been, in his estimation, probably the very best of legislators, and I wanted to give him a little token to remind him, because, as I mentioned earlier, there are certain things you forget, so I wanted to leave him with a little memento for his desktop there so he doesn't forget. Thank you. And I'd like to also wish him a happy birthday here this February 14th.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Abood.
I move as unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to respond to my colleague from...
Kodiak?
I don't know.
But Without objection, Senator, you do have the floor.
Thank
to respond.
You. I appreciate the gesture by my colleague from, what's his name? However, I want to thank him for the pain that I'm still going through. I was going to the dentist right away, but I can bear a little more pain for him, like I do him being in the Senate. But I received this from him. I'm sure that's what it is. And it says, damn, I'm good. Well, truth will win out. Thank you very much. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to speak also on the Board of Fisheries.
Without objection, Senator, you do have the floor.
Thank you, Madam President. I appreciate the remarks by my colleague from Sitka on the Board of Fisheries. However, I think I may take exception to some of the remarks. I think that we all have a responsibility to the public as to the perception of how the Board of Fish has operated. I think, as I recall the facts, when the board members did resign, they were very clear to state that they felt that there was absolutely no vote trading in that body, and that their resignation in no way was to indicate that the other board members who did not resign had participated in anything like that. I think that all of us, whenever we take on a responsibility that deals with the public interest, we run that risk of the public perception that maybe there are deals cut behind doors, maybe there are votes that are traded,
I suppose that all of us, at one time or another, have maybe given the perception, or somehow the public has given the perception, that, maybe that has taken place in other bodies besides the Board of Fish. I think I would applaud the efforts or the initiative taken by the governor to retain those members of the board. I think they're dedicated, hardworking. I don't think there's been any deals that have been made, and I think that for them to resign or for the governor to resign would in some way indicate that there maybe had been wrongdoing. And so I would just like to state that I'm in support of the governor's position on this. Thank you.
Senator Josephson.
Request the privilege of the floor to discuss legislation introduced this morning and a citation.
You have the floor, Senator.
Madam President, this morning I introduced Senate Bill 124 to require unpaid leave by covered employers for pregnant employees and new mothers who are temporarily disabled. In addition, Senate Bill 124 would require covered employers to give family leave up to 18 work weeks for a parent of a newborn child, a newly adopted child, or the foster parents of a newly placed foster child. This bill follows a decision of the Supreme Court of the United States last month, which upheld a California law that requires unpaid leave to new mothers. The California law had been challenged on constitutional grounds, and also on the ground that it was entering a field preempted by federal law. The court rejected that challenge by a 6-3 vote, and I might tell the Senate that the majority was composed of appointees by President Reagan and President Carter and other presidents. Passage of the bill, I think, will accomplish 7 important purposes. First, it promotes equality of opportunity in the workplace. Second, it helps Alaska's infants receive a healthy physical and emotional start in life. Third, it encourages working women to start families in their young years at the optimum time for healthy parenting. It encourages, fourthly, adoptions and foster care. It reduces family stress associated with the postpartum stage and with the sudden responsibility for adopted and foster children. Sixth, it reduces in the longer term the cost that society bears in remedying problems of infants who did not receive a healthy physical or emotional start in life. And seventh, it expresses our Alaska value system favoring the interests of family life and young children. At the same time, the bill is sensitive to the needs of business employers because it exempts employers who hire less than 15 employees at a work site and who therefore might have difficulty under present conditions holding jobs for absent employees. I hope that the bill will be broadly supported. We are the only advanced industrial nation that has no national policy to provide maternity leave, but some form of pregnancy leave laws exist in Connecticut, Hawaii, Kansas, Montana, New Hampshire, Ohio, Washington, Massachusetts, as well as California. And in fact, we've had something similar to that for public employees for some years here in Alaska. Finally, Madam President, there's published for action tomorrow a citation that I introduced honoring Esther Wanicki. I will not be here because Senator Fisher and I will have a hearing in Anchorage and Kenai this weekend. But I just want to mention that I'm disturbed by the fact that public officials at the cabinet level leave Juneau, and it's like slipping away in the dead of night, and nobody says thank you. It happens that Mrs. Wanicki and I differed about many things, as I'm sure other senators differed with her on some things. But I don't like that fact that these cabinet people, who are very dedicated, hardworking people, with a change of administration or for other reasons, are in office one day and disappear the next, and nobody says thank you for what you try to do. So I hope that we will recognize those people, and I couldn't be here tomorrow to say that. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand and adjourn until 10:30 tomorrow morning.
Without objection, the Senate will stand adjourned until 10:30 tomorrow morning.